each other and help each other through. All we can do is be there for each other in these times when we don't know what to do. An uncle found an old bike, girl's bike in the
city dump, that's what we did. We just took care of our trash by going out to the city dump, and one side was for all the garbage and the trash and stuff. And then there was a side, a part on the side that if something was still pretty good, or, you know, some, they just wanted to, they weren't using it anymore, that was over there. Apparently there was this bike, and my one uncle on my mom's side picked it up and brought it in, and my other uncle on my dad's side fixed it all up, painted it red, my favorite color then, and put a W on the back fender, bumper, whatever you call that. And Ward was my maiden name, so it was my bike, and I loved it, loved it, loved it. I spent so many hours riding in the wind and the air, and all of that, you know, it just, it was amazing. I even remember a race that I had with some of my cousins. Most of my cousins, almost all of them except for one, were boys. And so to beat them felt pretty dang good, you know. The thing was, they didn't slow down, or they did slow down more than I did coming through the gate. So I won. So this bicycle is pretty amazing for me. I still have part of it. This is one. You think I'm joking, but this bike was really something. These are my handlebars, and I keep them because it's kind of an inspiration, a vision of that adventurous little girl that's still in there. You know, I grew up and then didn't really ride my bike all that much anymore, but I never forgot how happy I was on this bicycle. And so even though the bike, this was 2003 when my uncle passed away, that was the last one, and they cleaned things out. And we got the bike, but it was old and rusty, and I don't need the whole bike. I'll just take the handlebars. So I keep them. It reminds me of that little girl. So then, years pass, I have a family, all of that. And then in the late 90s, I'm divorced by this time, and I bought myself another bike. It's a three-speed because I didn't know how to do gears at all, and I didn't want to overwhelm myself. And I used that bike quite often. I bought it in late 90s and went to ministerial school in 2000, took it with me. And then in Texas, my first location, I have a friend down there who likes to hike and likes to bike, and so we did quite a bit of that. I rode quite a bit. I have kind of always been afraid of heights, but then in 2007 I fell and I broke both of the bones that go down into my foot. And I realize now that my bike riding kind of began to step back a bit in terms of frequency and stuff. And I had lots of reasons and justifications. I did not think that it was because of fear. So it was, I need a better bike. So I bought another bike. Still wasn't riding it. Well, I don't want to ride by myself. It really isn't safe. I need to find some, because by this time I'm back up here in St. Louis and tried to find some people to ride with, and occasionally, you know, but in it, and I didn't push it really hard. It's just like, oh, well, there's that false evidence appearing real. Well, there just aren't people, you know, to ride with. It's too hot, or it's too cold, or there's not a good place to ride. You got the Katy Trail right here. I mean, really? So all of these things, and I still am not realizing that this is stuff, this false evidence that I have relied on all this time. I found many of us, you know, we'll come to a conclusion, and then we gather evidence for that. So yes, so I had all this evidence. This fear that I wasn't acknowledging. I do remember the summer between my first, between my 2 years of ministerial school, a bunch of us went to Worlds of Fun. And I have a fear of heights, I've talked about that here too, and I went on the Mamba. Some of my classmates sat with me and talked me through the first hill, click, 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 and then, you know, just rockets down that first hill. Anyway, I did it. I came off of that ride thinking, I can do anything. I can do anything. Until I saw, this was called the sling, and I think I've talked about this before too. It takes two people and they wrap the two people together kind of, and then it's attached to a big hook-like thing, and they pick them up and then they raise them really high, you know, about two stories high, and they release it, and then the people swing and they swing back. My legs went like rubber just watching them, and I thought, oh, blanket, no, that is not happening. Well, Tom Thorpe, who was our communications teacher at the time, was standing there by me, and he said something about fear. What it really impressed me, because he said he too was afraid of that ride. I don't know whether he'd ridden it or not. I think maybe he had. But he said what he does is he it's like he acknowledges the fear. Oh, hello, fear. There you are. Haven't seen you for a while. It's good to see you again. And that stuck with me. I didn't understand it. I didn't get that at all. It's like, why on earth would you do that? So anyway, so that was his way of doing it. Not really recognizing, you know, that I'm justifying, rationalizing anything. I'm just, you know, just still all these reasons. There really is no place to ride. There's nobody that wants to ride with me. It's too hot. It's too cold. Not all of that still going on, you know. And now years are clicking by and ageism is settling in there too. So now I'm hearing a little voice in my head and then the outer societal voices that are saying, you are too old for that. You don't need to be doing that. So all these influences. All right, so coming back up to very recently, I did see me not riding, and I'm still thinking about that adventurous little girl. I'm still wanting to ride my bike. So I get everything. I'm just gonna do it, you know. So I have another bike now. The one was too big. That was, I forgot to tell you about that. It was too tall. I felt like I was wavering up there. And so I sold that one, and I have one that's a medium frame. It fits much better. And aired up the tires, because it sat for a long time because I didn't ride it. And aired up the tires, and I turned it around. I wheeled it out to the driveway, and I straddled it. And this rush of fear went all through my body. I was rooted. I could not get myself. All I was going to do was roll down the driveway, turn around in the street, and come back. I couldn't do it. And then it was right there. I'm afraid. I am really afraid. It was the first time that I had acknowledged it, seen it. Tom Thorpe's words came back. There it is. It is right there. And it was quite illuminating. Because I think a lot of us go through life, I know I have, just not realizing that we're letting fear or whatever it might be control us, controlling our minds. We know how important our thinking is. We know how much we need to be thinking about the truth of ourselves, right? We need to remember and know and think about us as powerful beings. So that was a Tuesday where I froze, and then between Tuesday and Thursday, I said, okay, I see you, fear, but I am going to do this. And I recognize that with not with emotion, but just with thinking about it, I know that things are different now. The body I have is not the same body that rode this bike. Back then, I could probably bounce and not break anything. That's not true now. So I'm very much aware. I still want the wind in my hair. I think I do. I'm unfamiliar with my bike. Now I am ready to just take it out, see how it feels. I may sell this bike, but it's me. It's my authentic person. It's the adventurous person trying it anyway. In our lives, I believe that we can do that. We can look at the things that we either want to do or used to want to do, or see, just test it. Do I want to do it? And then why? Wind in the hair, feeling adventurous, whatever it is for you. And then what would it take to try it? Wade out there. You don't have to jump in the deep end. So I did several things, as you can tell. I held that vision of myself as an adventurous being. I still hold it. I still think I am. I looked logically at my concerns and my fears instead of all the emotion, like, oh my God, I'm gonna fall, probably die. And I remembered the truth. I remembered the things that Unity teaches us. The thinking I've already mentioned, and I remember that I am a child of God. I am endowed with all the power that I'm willing and able to claim. It's all there. Eric Butterworth writes a lot, God only wants the best for us. And I believe that with my whole heart. So that's good for me to remember as I'm thinking about riding my bike. And then one other thing, Jesus talked about the lilies of the field, right? As we remember the truth of ourselves, as we step into that realization and the trust that comes with his example of the lilies of the field, we can do anything that we truly want to do. Doing something I want to do doesn't mean that I'm going to get up and ride smoothly, take all the corners easily. It means that I'm going to ride it. I might fall. I might hurt myself. I might hurt myself badly, but I'll recover. It's having the courage to give it a try, knowing the truth about myself. Thinking about my experience with the bike, and thank you for listening to all the ups and downs of that whole experience with the fear and then writing for 10 minutes. That acronym, false evidence appearing real. Well, there's another one that I've heard and I like it better. That's going to be my new one. It is face everything and rise. Face everything and rise. We can stop. We can look for false evidence that we're using. We can remember our goal, our vision. We can examine those inner beliefs, maybe that voice that society is whispering to us, you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe I should. We want to check out fear. Fear comes from the ego, and sometimes it's there for a good reason, but check it out. Listen to, you know, look at it and see, is it false evidence or is it something that I can face and rise for? I can and you can step out courageously in a positive direction by doing these things. Wrapping this up, there was a commercial, I believe I've talked about it before, it made quite an impression on me. There was a gentleman, the commercial was for Lucy MT, if you remember me talking about it. The gentleman was sitting on his front porch, looked like a southern kind of home, and a porch swing, and he had a glass of iced tea there, and he was talking about how he had always drunk, and I can't remember if he used the name Lipton or not, but we all knew that he was talking about Lipton tea, because he said, I've drank the same brand of tea for all these many years, and it's been fine, it's been good. someone told me about a different tea, Louisiana. I thought, well, I'll try it. And you could tell from the, his expression, the way he said it, that he thought this isn't going to go well. But he tried it. And he said, with surprise on his face, it's really good. I love it. And then he stopped, paused, and he said, it makes me wonder what else I've missed in my life. So we want to keep our eyes open. We want to find that adventurous person inside. We want to find that being that wants to be all and the best that we can be. It's in there, and we can do it. We can face everything and rise. Let's take a moment now to prepare ourselves for meditation. We do that by affirming the message that our way shower, master teacher, taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Together. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
If you're comfortable doing so, close your outer eyes. Allow your body to relax completely. Your seat is supporting you, and it will continue to support you. We are in a safe place. We are here with beloved friends and church family members. We are safe. And as the song said, we are here to support each other. We are each here doing the very best we can to express that highest self, express our Christ nature. And we do that by keeping in the front of our minds those things that are true, those things that are important. One power, one presence. I am a child of God. I am one through prayer and meditation. My thoughts create my world, and my steps bring that world to life. We practice positive Christianity, practical Christianity. In this moment, as we sit here still, we allow our minds to quiet, slow down. We may observe the thoughts that come across, just like we see clouds that float across the sky. We bring our focus simply to the breath, and as we follow it into our bodies with our minds, and then back out with the release, we can feel ourselves going to that place of stillness. At one with each other and with God, Spirit, Source, whatever your word is. We allow ourselves to gently hold the space for anything to come into consciousness, into our awareness that is ready to be released. Any lack or limitation or feelings of unworthiness or not enough, gone. And we allow our minds to be open. We allow those divine ideas that Spirit has been bringing to us, divine ideas, those things that are uniquely yours to be and to do and to have. They come to us. And they don't frighten us. We are in this space of alignment, of connection. We are reassured by the presence. We trust. We are excited. There's just a little bit of excitement, a little bit of fear because of what can be. But it's good fear. It's that facing things. For things to be different, we have to think differently. And so we trust. And we allow those divine ideas to come in and take root. And we know we have all of the resources that we need to bring them into manifestation and expression. So let's just sit in silence for a few moments, receptive, willing, open. In the silence. Let us acknowledge that person that we see in our mind's eye, ourselves, rising to whatever it is that we want. We are able, we are willing. Anything can happen. We are so excited about the opportunities. Knowing that we are children of God, knowing that we have resources beyond our wildest imaginations, we step forth courageously to express and manifest our unique Christ self powerfully this afternoon, tomorrow, this week, this month, and our lives become richer, fuller, more fulfilled, and we become the light that we want to be, the light of the world. And it is with gratitude that we say all these things, that we name all these things, that we claim all these things. So in great love and in much, much gratitude, we simply say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Because now I know I'm in the flow. I'm finally free. Oh, blessed be. Gonna set it free and let things be. Let the thrill of life carry me. Because now I know I'm in the flow. I'm finally free. Oh, blessed be. Life unfolds with grace and ease. Endless possibilities. They're everywhere. They've always been.
Let the thrill of life carry me, 'cause now I know I'm in the flow. I'm finally free, oh blessed be, gonna set it free. Let things be. Let the thrill of life carry me, 'cause now I know I'm in the flow. I'm finally free, oh blessed be. I have grown no smaller dreams the way they used to limit me. I'm finally free. Enough.